Wow, powerful songs, Brian. Powerful, powerful singing this morning. Acts chapter 17, please, in your Bibles. We want to go to the Word of God together in just a moment. In the New Testament, I've found Acts 17. And if you'll find the book of Acts and find chapter 17, we'll move into that reading in just a moment. Acts chapter 17. John, thank you for your good prayer this morning. I want to piggyback on an announcement Patrick made about the encouragement group. Men, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Lord willing, here at the building, the encouragement group. That's just a great opportunity for us to be together as men. It's an opportunity. You know, in this church, we are first and foremost, we're all about the Word of God. We just want to open the Word of God, the Scriptures, and hear from God. We want God's wisdom. We want God's truth that will help us to be better men. But it's also a great thing for us to be together as men. This is a time to encourage one another, and maybe you're going through something in your life. Maybe there's an area of your life, and you just need insight, a perspective from an older man or another man, and that's just a great opportunity and time to get that, and that's how we encourage one another. And also, some of us just need to get to know one another better, and so taking advantages of opportunity to be around other men and to take that opportunity to get to know other men. Sometimes it's just encouraging to know that what I'm going through, I'm not the only one who's ever gone through that. I'm not the only one who has had questions about that. And so you connect to another man or you connect to other men and you learn from them and you grow with them. Just a great time for us to be together as men. If you have some question or a point of discussion you would like to see brought into that time tomorrow night, please see me or Travis Everett or Patrick Gaughan. The best thing to do, there's a box in the foyer, men, on the table. There's little sheets of paper. You can write down a question or write down some point of discussion you'd like to see brought into that group tomorrow night. If you're going to come to me, and I think that's the same way with Travis or Patrick, it helps if you text us or email us so we don't forget. So that's a good way for us to have that information if you want to see what you can bring to the discussion group. Men, we understand sometimes our schedules don't let us be together, don't allow us that time to be together. We're not in any way trying to take you away from your wife and your children, things that have priority in your life, but it is a good time once a month for us to be together, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. One more thing, next Lord's Day is junior camp, and then the next Sunday, at least in the morning, is senior camp. So for the next two Sundays in the morning, going to be a big crowd. So you're going to get here early. You want to come in one car if you can, because we'll have a pretty big group next Sunday morning, and also 2 weeks from today in the morning, junior and senior camp. Are you in Acts chapter 17? Let's begin the reading. Acts chapter 17. Paul is in the city of Athens. He's not in the city of Athens as a sightseer. He's in the city of Athens to be a soul winner. And so there's a large crowd that is gathered at the Areopagus, Mars Hill. And Paul was encouraged, at least by some, to speak or to preach. And that's what the Apostle Paul here is doing in Acts 17. He says to the unknown God, verse 23, "Therefore the one whom you worship without knowing him, I proclaim to you." Now verse 24, Acts 17, "God. God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he, God, worshipped with men's hands, as though he, God, needed anything, since he, God, gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. And as God has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of the dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord." That they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him. Though he, God, is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our very being, our existence, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, verse 29, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think We ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by the art and man's devising. And truly, the times of this ignorance God has overlooked, but He now commands, He commands all men everywhere to repent, because He, God, He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. And He's given assurance of this, of the resurrection, or the judgment, by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. And when they heard, verse 32, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, "We will hear you again on this matter." And so Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined Paul and believed, among them Dionysius the Areopagite, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. It seems that Luke is telling us something about Paul's preaching, and Luke is also telling us something about, at least on this occasion, when Paul stands up in the Areopagus and preaches, the different responses, especially concerning Paul preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrection and ultimately their resurrection. And when they heard of the resurrection from the dead, Luke tells us that some mocked, some scoffed at, some sneered at what Paul was teaching. You have to understand, in Greek philosophy, in most of Greek philosophy, it left no room for resurrection. And especially among Epicureans and even some Stoics, especially the Epicureans, they wanted nothing to do with any doctrine that would speak about resurrection. And so when Paul speaks about resurrection, they ridiculed the resurrection. They wanted nothing to do with it. As if to say, we will not be convinced and we will not change. But Luke says others. There were some who said, we will hear you again. Now, I don't know here if they were being very polite but yet dismissing Paul. I tend to think that they were very curious. In fact, that's what Paul was saying about most in that group. Superstitious, curious, wanted to hear a new thing. And it may be that what is dealing with in this group, there were those who were curious, but while they were curious, they weren't as bad as the first group who said, we will not, even though they said, we will hear you again. They were noncommittal. And so basically, in essence, what they were saying is, well, we will, but later. But Luke highlights that there were some, a few, who joined Paul, who followed Paul. And the consequence of them following Paul was they were able to hear more of what Paul was teaching concerning the resurrection and the Lord Jesus Christ and about this one true and living God. And Luke says, as a result of them following Paul and continuing to listen to Paul, they believed. You have three groups that I think Luke is highlighting. You have those who, in essence, were saying, we will not. And you had those in essence who were saying we will later, and you had those in essence who were saying we will now. Different response to the same message and the same messenger. And not only is Luke telling us something about the different ears among the Epicureans and the Stoics and others who had gathered at the Areopagus, he's also highlighting for us the different hearts. Not just the different ears, but the different hearts. Go with me to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. I'm going to Luke's Gospel because we were hearing from Luke in the book of Acts. But in Luke's Gospel in chapter 8, the most familiar probably of all the parables is the parable of the sower. And while I'm wanting us to see something in Luke's Gospel in chapter 8, it's interesting to me that Mark in his Gospel in chapter 4, Mark has Jesus beginning this parable in Mark 4 in verse 3 by saying, listen. As if, at least in my mind, for Mark's gospel, it's highlighting Jesus saying, I need you to listen carefully to me teach you about the importance of how you are to listen carefully. Think that through. But here in Luke's gospel, in chapter 8, Jesus says, verse 5, a sower went out to sow a seed. Now, Jesus wants us to listen carefully to something he wants to teach us about how to listen. And so he says, a sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed, Luke 8 and verse 5. As he sowed, some fell by the wayside. It was trampled down. The birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away. It withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns. The thorns sprang up, and it was choked. Well, but others, verse 8, Jesus said, fell on good ground. And the seed here that fell on good ground, it sprang up and it yielded a crop 100-fold. And when Jesus had said these things, he cried, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Some 8 times. In Matthew's gospel, in Mark's gospel, and Luke's gospel, some 8 times we have Jesus saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. I was on an airplane some time ago, and I kept hearing outburst of laughter. Well, that's not unusual, but what you need to appreciate, at least about this flight that I was on, it was a time when the pilot or the co-pilot had come over and had said, we are going through some turbulence here, you know, keep your seat belts fastened, and it's going to be a little rough ride for a while. And so I'm on this airplane, and it was a rough ride. And I keep hearing this person laughing, and I'm thinking in my mind, what's so funny about what the airplane's doing right now? I leaned over and I looked back a bit. And the guy that's cracking up and the guy that's laughing while no one else is laughing, I looked back and he had headphones on. He was plugged into a mobile device. You see, because he could hear what no one else could hear, he was acting differently than everyone else. Because he could hear what I couldn't hear, he was acting differently. Sometimes we're not living and growing like we should. Sometimes we're acting differently than we should because our ears are not tuned in to what Jesus would have our ears to be tuned in to. And ultimately, it's not an ear problem. It's a heart problem. I think sometimes we read the parable of the sower. And don't misunderstand me. The parable of the sower is here to teach you some principles about evangelism and trying to take the gospel, the seed which is the word of God, the gospel to people, and sow it into the hearts of people. And there are principles here in this parable that are designed to teach us. Not everyone is going to hear it. Not everyone is going to receive it. And some are going to hear and some are going to receive. But it's not going to take root and it's not going to last long. And there are a lot of other things that spring up into our lives that we allow to come into our lives that choke us spiritually and prevent us from growing. And all of that's there. But I fear sometimes the misconception is that this parable is here only to teach us about evangelism and being evangelistic, as if sometimes to imply or to think about myself that I'm not in this parable. And the point that Jesus is making in this parable is, listen, all of us at times, because of the concept or the condition of our heart, we're not putting ourselves in the best possible position and place to learn and grow. We're just not listening. We're just not hearing. As if to imply you need to have your hearing checked. And when Jesus would say to us in principle or say to me, I need to have my hearing checked, really what he's saying is you need to have your heart checked. I've asked this question before. Have you ever come into an assembly of God's people, whether it's Sunday or it's Wednesday, whenever the people of God assemble for the Word to be taught and read and preached, have you ever come to a hearing of the Word of God and brought distractions, been distracted? Sure you have. You're thinking, oh great, now he's going to come after us and blister us and tell us how. We've all been there. Some of you, to be quite frank, some of you are there today. Jesus is teaching this parable to help us to appreciate what potentially can happen in our lives if we continue to allow things to distract us and prevent us from hearing the truth of the gospel or the Word of God that is designed to help us to learn, to understand, and by it to grow. I think that's one of the reasons that Jesus was very clear. He was very clear in Luke chapter 8. In fact, you can read it in verses 11 through 15. He explains the parable. How gracious the Lord was here. I mean, we're not left in the dark. Okay, what are you talking about? What are you talking about here about this kind of heart and about this kind of heart and about this kind of heart and about this kind of heart? What are you talking over here about this kind of soil and this kind of soil and this kind of soil and this kind of soil? He tells us. Sometimes we stop at the end of verse 15 and we don't continue reading. But go back to Luke 8. Notice in verse 16. No one lies. See how this fits the context. Jesus continues. He continues in Luke chapter 8. And in verse 16 he says, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand. Why? So that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, verse 18, maybe your translation says, take heed how you hear. Or maybe another translation, consider carefully how you listen. Jesus says, consider carefully, therefore, how you listen. Now here's his point. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has will be taken from him. I think Jesus, at least in part, tells me sometimes why I haven't been growing spiritually. If I want to grow spiritually, then I have to bring the right heart, ears, to carefully consider, to listen carefully to what God, through His Word, is trying to tell me, is trying to teach me. You know, some people never learn because they're not listening. Some people never learn because they're not listening. Let's not miss why after every one of the seven letters in the Revelation in chapter 2 and chapter 3, let's not miss the reason why the Lord who walks among the churches, the Lord who is on His throne and knows everything about every one of us and about every church, why He ends every letter by saying, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Sometimes in our churches we're not growing. Sometimes in our churches we're not changing. Sometimes in our churches we're not seeing because we don't have hearts. We don't have ears to hear what the Spirit's trying to tell us through the Word. What the Spirit's trying to tell me through the Word. You go all back to the days of Moses in the Old Testament and Deuteronomy. This is a great passage in Deuteronomy 32. When Moses finished reciting all these words, Deuteronomy 32, verse 45, all these words that Moses was teaching to Israel, then Moses said, listen to him, Deuteronomy 32, 45, take to heart all these words. I mean, it sounds like a parent, doesn't it? Take to heart all these words I have solemnly declared to you this day. Why should they take to heart? Why should they carefully consider? Why should they take these words into their hearts and let them plant themselves into their hearts and take root in their heart? Why? He says, because I'm speaking for God here. I solemnly am telling you and declaring to you what God has given me to tell you, and so that you now may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. These words are not idle, vain, or empty words. They are your life. Could it be that in some homes, the reason children aren't listening is because the parents aren't listening? Could it be sometimes in some homes, the reason the children aren't learning is because the parents have never listened and the parents have never taught? And I'm thankful for the homes that we have here and for the parents that we have in here. But Moses is trying to tell us something, as he was trying to tell Israel something. He's wanting them to understand the words of God are not idle or empty words. They are your life. They are your life. I think about what Jesus said when he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil in the Gospel of Matthew and in chapter 4. And I think about what Jesus said on one occasion to Satan when he was trying to tempt him. Jesus says, it is written. And he's quoting Scripture. And what he says to Satan, he says, man shall not live by bread alone. And most of you are finishing it right now, because you grew up hearing that. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Why is this so important? Why does he say, both Moses and Jesus, this is your life? Because we're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about what God has revealed. I want to finish up this morning on this carefully considered point by once again making three points with regard to profitable ways to listen carefully, to take heed how you hear. We need to listen. I need to listen eagerly. In Acts chapter 17, if you were to back up in the reading in chapter 17, you would note that one of the points that Luke is making with regards to Jews in Berea is those Jews in Berea, he says, were more noble-minded than those Jews in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with great eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. They received the word with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures daily. How do you know that they were receiving the word with energy and enthusiasm and excitement, with great eagerness? Well, they were examining what they were hearing, the Old Testament Scriptures, on a regular basis. Do I bring that same kind of energy and enthusiasm and eagerness into a hearing of the Word of God, into a preaching of the Word of God? And not only listening eagerly, but listening effectively. Now, I want to drive this point home, and of course, some of you are staying with me. You know, I'm trying to make them all start with E. Don't get ahead of me and think what number three is going to be. I need to drive home this point. I need to give an explanation of how I'm using effectively here. You see, to listen to the Word effectively, it's able to produce a desired goal or an achieved desired result. Able to accomplish a desired goal. Able to achieve a desired result. If I were just hand out a little card and say, okay, I want everyone on a card to write out, what do you think God's goal is? What do you think God wants to accomplish in me, in us today, through two sermons preached today? I would get different responses. What's God's goal? I mean, we're coming in here in two sermons. I mean, you in essence, if you're going to come back tonight, here's my plug for please come back tonight. But if you're going to come back tonight, in essence, you've heard one-hour sermon this morning. No, you've heard one 30-minute sermon this morning. You're going to hear about another 30-minute sermon tonight. What's God's goal in having 1 hour of preaching today? What does he want to accomplish in your life? Well, we would get generic responses like, well, he wants us to be more like Jesus. Sure. I mean, that's Romans chapter 8, conformed to the image of his son. But maybe someone would get a little bit more specific and say, well, you know, in essence what you're saying is, what does the Holy Spirit, through the medium of the Word, want to accomplish in my life? Well, Jesus told us in the Gospel of John that the Holy Spirit, as a revealer of truth, as a communicator of truth, the Holy Spirit wants to convict us of sin. Maybe you just need to be convicted of something in your life that God says has no place in your life. Can God accomplish that through you today? What kind of ears are you bringing? What kind of heart are you bringing? Some of you may say, well, he wants to encourage. God does. I mean, a desired goal. If I'm going to listen effectively, here's a desired goal for me. I just need to be encouraged today. I've been pretty discouraged last week. And I just need the Word. I need a message. I need something that said through the Word of God that's just going to build me up and encourage me. Encourage me to do right, or encourage me to not stay in the pit, and encourage me to think differently. Maybe some of you say, you know, one of the things, the desired effect in my life today is I need comfort in my affliction. And I need God through His Word to comfort me, because I'm going through a hard time right now. And maybe someone would say, I need my faith strengthened. That's a pretty noble goal. I need my faith strengthened. Or maybe someone would say, I need to come to faith. Initially, I need to turn from my sins and acknowledge the truth of the gospel and confess my belief in Jesus Christ. And I need the Word of God today to show me, to reveal to me, to encourage me, to respond to the call of the gospel, to come to Jesus Christ and have my sins cleansed by and through His blood. All of those are noble, noble goals. But for that to be accomplished, I have to be careful how I hear. I'm teaching the prophets in the back classroom, and I'm teaching the minor prophets, but the major prophets, Isaiah, and it's just major because it's longer. It's not major because it's more important. But God, through Isaiah, says this about Him and about His Word. You've heard these passages before. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. As the rain and the snow comes down from heaven, as the rain and the snow comes down from heaven and does not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the water, so is my word. Notice how, what he compares his word to. Rain and snow. And he says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Accomplish and achieve. We got rain last night. I think we're going to get more rain this week. Is it going to accomplish some things in the natural order in the physical universe? Absolutely it will. Things are going to grow. Things are going to get watered. In the spiritual level, when God's word that comes forth from His mouth, if it's going to accomplish and achieve what God plans and purposes, then I must cooperate with God. When it doesn't, the fault's not in God. When it doesn't, the fault is in me. See, because God's Word cannot take root in a heart that's unreceptive. God's Word, which is the seed, cannot and it will not produce fruit if I do not allow it to be implanted in my heart. Be careful how you listen. Listen eagerly. Listen effectively. Here's number three. Listen evangelistically. Listen evangelistically. Those who have noble hearts, the parable of the sower, hearts that are receptive, ears willing to hear, when they hear the powerful word of God, when they hear some nugget of truth that has impacted their life, that has made a difference in their life, what will they do? What should they do if they've listened evangelistically? Share it. Share it with other people. Listen to this passage, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. You've seen it before, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. After He describes for us the kind of people and the character of the people we are to be now as the redeemed in Jesus Christ, belonging to Christ, He says we are now a people who will proclaim the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, to proclaim the excellencies of God. What does that mean? What does that look like? To proclaim the excellencies of God. Have you ever gone to someone on a Monday after what you heard on a Sunday and said, God is sure good? Have you ever gone to someone on Thursday after what you heard on a Wednesday and said, our God, my God is so gracious, is so powerful? Have you ever gone to someone or emailed someone or texted someone in the middle of the week after you heard some sermon during a meeting and said something along the lines of, well, God's pretty serious about sin. I sure did learn something about sin last week. When we get information that energizes us, that excites us, that challenges us, that changes us for the better, when we get information that has really impacted our life in a positive way, that's woken us up a bit, enlightened us to some new truth or some nugget of truth, when we get information about something that excites us, what do? We share it. You share it. It's just natural. To listen evangelistically is to take the word, to take the truth of God and share it with others. Are you listening eagerly? Are you listening effectively? Are you listening evangelistically? I hope that you are. I believe that you want to. Can I end this morning by reading to you one more passage of Scripture? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. We must pay more careful attention. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. Why? Because the preacher just told us to. And the preacher just worked up for the last 30 minutes, making us all feel guilty, either because we haven't been or we're not going. And so we need to be more careful about what we've heard. Well, the Hebrew writer tells us the reason, Hebrews 2 and verse 1. He says, lest we drift away from it. You see, because to drift away from God's Word is to drift away from God. To stop giving heed to the voice of God, to the Spirit of God through the Word, will take us outside of fellowship with God, the very one, the only one who can save us, who can deliver us, who can help us spiritually. How are you listening? How am I listening? If you're here this morning and you have not been listening with the right heart, repent of that and turn from it. If you're here this morning and you've been listening and you've been hearing, James says, do not just be a hearer of the word, be also a doer of the word. So what will I do? What will we do with the message, the truth that we hear from God? If you're here this morning, you're outside of Jesus Christ, only Jesus can save you. We don't want to end this morning without giving you the hope that's found only in Jesus Christ. The cleansing of your sins that made possible through the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. That's how much He loved you. Are you willing to respond in faith? Can we help you to know more about the good news of the gospel? Can we help you to know more about the Jesus, the Lamb of God who died for you? Please bring that to our attention. Let us open the Word and study with you. But if you're here and you believe with all of your heart that Jesus was who He said He was, the Christ of God, will you come to Him in faith, repenting of your sins and being immersed in water, buried in baptism, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, to have your sins washed away? If you've fallen from grace, if there's sin in your life, take it before God. Repent of it. If we can help you this morning in any way that is spiritual, won't you come while together we stand and while we sing?